It's so good to see you guys here. The title of today's message is, What Are We Forgetting? What Are We Forgetting? And so I want to go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Father, I ask that you will bless this message. I ask that you will accomplish what you want through it. I ask that you will minister to each person. Remember that I am just the vessel, Father, and you're the one that does the work. You're the one that reveals spiritual truth and understanding to hearts and lives. And you also know the enemy's tactics and distractions and all these things. But Father, I pray that you will simply carry your word and carry the message that you have for each one here today and each one hearing this message to receive. And may it be used for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Believe it or not, I said to my wife, she said something about Thanksgiving. And I said, when is Thanksgiving? She goes, it's this Thursday. Really? You know, I was like, hello. That's how much I pay attention to that. Many Americans, their focus on Thanksgiving is, for some, it's football, food, and family. It might be family, food, and football. Some families, it's football, food, and family. It depends on the focus, right? Right? For others, in our American history, Native Americans helped pilgrims survive, and a Thanksgiving meal was shared. And I love the fact that giving thanks to God together in unison and unity, it was shared together. I'm sure that God was blessed by that. For another group of people, it's now something to be eliminated due to their political or what is politically correct statements. All right, they try to eliminate Thanksgiving because obviously the spiritual warfare is you don't want to give credit to God. And look around. You can go to the store. How much emphasis do you see on Halloween and Christmas as opposed to Thanksgiving? You barely see it. But yet we should be a thankful people, shouldn't we? And so there is an agenda there to stop people from focusing on thanking God for all his goodness and his grace and his love in our life. And so we need to remember that not just on Thanksgiving, but every day that we live, find ourselves giving thanks to God. Today I want to look at Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to talk about God's grace on the Hebrew people. And they were on a long march, and you can already surmise what that long march was. And it was between Egypt and the land of Canaan. They had just been given a miraculous deliverance from the bondage in Egypt. The plagues in Egypt, the dividing of the Red Sea, the dry ground, leaving slavery, God's provisions, all this stuff. They were, in fact, in chapter 15, they were celebrating the wonder of God's hand. Can you imagine being part of that Israelite group, the Hebrew people walking through the Red Sea, the water banked on each side, the ground dry, and walking through to the other side and seeing God close that up and delivering them from bondage and experiencing that in reality? You and I can experience that in our own lives, not the water part, but God's deliverance from bondage, God's closing the door of the past to open up the new in front of us. We can experience that. As we look at chapter 16, their euphoria about what had happened, what God had done, didn't take long to turn into a complaint. Is that unusual for us as people? We tend to, in our sinful nature, find ourselves slipping into complaints more than praise. And we need to remember to give God praise. It had only been a month since the 10 plagues of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea took place. So within a month's time, of all that miraculous work and God's grace on their lives, they were complaining to God. Well, to Moses and Aaron, right? But in essence, to God. So I'm going to read Exodus 16, verses 1 through 15. It's a little lengthy. Please, just bear with me. But it's contextual. In other words, it's important for us to see the context and to gain the insights from that passage. So let me read this. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they walk in my way, in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also, Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, Moses and Aaron, but against the Lord." We need to be careful about our complaining and keep our eyes properly focused on the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." It's amazing and wonderful that God in his grace didn't get mad about their complaints after all he's done for them. He doesn't get mad. He will eventually. Patience wears out eventually. But his love is so great for us that he is so patient and long-suffering. "Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' So it was that quail came up that evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of the dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" And of course, that's a typological picture that's clear of the bread of life, Jesus, who comes from heaven for us to eat as believers in Christ, to feed on him, to live for him. So the Israelite people here, this is not the first time that they had been complaining in this particular month in their exodus from Egypt. They just continued to complain. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? They were slaves in Egypt. They were complaining. They were imprisoned there, in a sense, for 430 years. And they cried out to God. God answered them. God provided for them, and they complained after they celebrated. And that should tell us something, that we're frail that way, especially when it comes to eating. We get grumpy when we don't eat. God knows that. God knows that, okay? So God let them know that he heard their complaints. Even though they were complaining, what did God do? God showed them grace. Is that true for you and I? That even though we complain, if we were to really step back and look at ourselves, you know, have you ever thought about that? Stepping back and visualizing your relationship with God as an outsider looking in. This thing is as an outsider looking in. That we might look at ourselves and judge ourselves and say, "Boy, you're being foolish." But we don't see it when we're in the midst of it. And yet God sees it and he shows grace. He provided manna and meat to satisfy their hunger. So why did the people of God complain? Here's another question. Why do we complain? We're human. We're sinners. We're people. But as God's people, we need to learn not to complain. And I think that partly reflects our character in Christ. our hope, our security, our love for Christ, and the acknowledgement of his love and provision for us as well. So we need to be careful about that. We complain because we forget God's grace in our lives. I mean, if we really were to assess the things that God had done for us or has done for us, we would probably be less complaining and more praising. Right? Right? And so I reflect on the fact that when, and you need to, reflect on the areas, even those things in your life where you saw God's grace intervene. When before we move on to the next section, when we were called to leave my second church in Placerville, we were in between churches. In fact, I didn't have a church yet. And so we're leaving the parsonage, so they provided a home for us. And I said, how are we going to, Lord, we need a place to live. I got a wife and two little children. And God simply provided a travel trailer for us, 22-foot travel trailer. And we had a vacation as a family. Of course, my father-in-law remembers that it was in his circular driveway in the woods. Carolyn and Gregory had those orange, yellow, green, and blue cubes with the holes in it you climb all through. They had that, and that was their store, and they played outside. The cool thing about the trailer was that on the inside where the dining room table was and the two bank seats, above were the cabinets. And that obviously, like most of us know, made a bed. Well, we kept it folded up and had the doors. We put sleeping bags in there, and then we laid the kids in there feet to feet. And each one had their own door. And so at night, they'd pop their doors open, hanging their head out the door, and go, good night. And we would pray. And it was a great, look at Carolyn, she's smiling. Don't look at her. You embarrass her. It was a really great time. And God blessed, God provided what we needed. And then within a 6 weeks period of time, God had led me to another church to pastor. And so when we remember that God is our Father that loves us so much, listen, God knows us better than we know ourselves. God loves us more than we love ourselves. God knows us better than we know ourselves. God loves us more than we love ourselves. And we can rest assured of that. Absolutely. These type of reflections will help us not to complain, but there are other reflections as well. But why do we complain? We complain because we forget God's grace in our lives. Why do we get scared? Because we don't know what the future holds, and yet we forget what God has done in providing for us, right? We don't know the future. We don't have the security, but we can reflect on what God has done for us in the past, but it doesn't. Sometimes we don't consider that, and we get too afraid about the future. But in reality, we should say, my Father took care of me then. My Father will take care of me now and in the future. And we can praise him for that. So we complain because we forget God's grace in our lives. So I want to read Numbers 11, 4 through 6, more about the Hebrews complaining. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. It's like saying a good steak with a, you know, garlic bread and all that stuff. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Hey, God provided manna, you're alive. He's sustaining you with nourishment. It wasn't just dust. It was manna. It was bread. It sustained life. Be thankful. Don't complain. Get tired of it. Kathy's grandfather, during the Depression, they grew up eating turnips. That's all they ate. So when the Depression was over and they were raising his family and grandchildren, he hated turnips. Don't give me any turnips. But we are to be thankful. We are to be thankful. And so it wasn't just the Hebrews that want us to recognize. It wasn't just the Hebrews that had left Egypt, but there were other nationalities involved in that. And the people of Israel were weakened by their faith because of these non-Hebrews and joined in on their complaining. You see, we as Christians are to be the people that have faith in God, trust God, thank God, and reflect upon God's grace on our life. But those that don't know God, don't know Christ, don't reflect on his intervention in their lives and his love for them, don't even know him, can't focus on his grace and aren't likely to give God thanks. And so therefore, their complaining was more natural. But the people of Israel, God's people, who saw God's power and his love and provision for them, should have held on to the fact of God's grace and his testimony and his involvement in their life so that they would stand strong with a thankful heart. But they allowed others to drag them down in a complaining mode. But I want us to remember Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. Do not be fooled. This is a Good News translation. Do not be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. You've heard it said, a rotten potato and a bag of potatoes, what's it going to do? It's going to spoil the rest of them. Oh, is that potatoes? Oh, it's apples. Oh, wait, it's both. Right? It's a whatever. It's going to infest the others that are good and cause them to start to rot. So the analogy of the tomatoes and potatoes and whatever, that with one rotten fruit or vegetable affecting the others, is an analogy of you and I. See, we can allow people to affect us in a negative way. We can allow people to rob our joy in Christ. We can allow those type of things to happen. I've seen it in ministry. I've seen kids at school, adults, and even Christians in church complain about something or talk negatively. And then soon the person that they're sharing this negative perspective about begins to start complaining also. And so it starts to infest. That's not what God wants us to do at all. We are to build up others with teaching and encouragement, but not bring them down with complaining. Now, I was thinking about this biblically. You know, the scripture talks about that, you know, if there's division making in the church, you are to call it out and make sure that that person or those people are not causing division because it's destructive to the body, right? The process of identifying division making or any type of church discipline action, right, biblically sound discipline, is a process of analyzing and talking about the situation at hand and then make the right decision. That's not the same as complaining. That's analyzing a situation and, as a pastor and leaders in the church, assessing what we need to do to protect the body and to help those involved to get on the right track out of love for them, right? So talking about that frustration or evaluating that is not the same as complaining, right? But you've heard the expression stirring the pot, right? Stirring the pot in biblical terms is murmuring. And murmuring is grumbling undertones. I hate that person over there. That makes me so mad. They just irritate the daylights out of me. And you murmur. Confession? I've murmured sometimes. I'd say I hate, but I've murmured. And God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it at all. He's convicted me at times. And I have to learn to distinguish between analyzing and evaluating in love as opposed to just grinding my teeth. But I think I'm not the only one in that boat. And even if I was, it's still on me. So we have to be careful not to murmur and grumble, because what does that do? That affects our relationships. But it also doesn't just affect our relationships in a negative way. It affects the wholesomeness and the unity of the body of Christ. We are to be united as one in Christ. That's God's ultimate goal. That we're all brought together, united as one in him. And the church is to reflect that unity here, this side of heaven. And heaven, it'll be obvious. here, we need to reflect it. So if we entertain complaining about one another, then we entertain trouble that can be infectious. In Hebrews 3:13, it says, but exhort one another daily. That doesn't mean make false, accolades. You don't walk up and make up something, boy, you fill in the blank. It means you genuinely share something with somebody that you know will bless them. But you don't just make up something and don't have any heart behind it. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. What are we doing? Edify means to build, right? And we're to build each other up. But the natural human tendency is to tear each other down. Some odd twist to it makes you feel good that you got that pun out or that tear down on that person. Makes you feel better because you're frustrated. That's worldly psychology and demented thinking that does not honor God. We are the body of Christ, and we are to build each other up. Now don't misunderstand me, especially if you're visitors here. Or, you know, I'm not saying that we have this problem in our church that's surfaced. It's not like the pastor's addressing an issue, they must be having a problem. No. Pardon me?
I thought you were just being sensitive.
I thought you were. but it's just... It's not that case. So just don't. It's not that way. It's just something we need to remember. Okay? We're to be careful who you choose to spend time with. If someone is chewing your ear about somebody else and they're tearing them down and they want you to know because you're the benefactor of their complaint, get away. And pray for them. Because a right heart with God will come out with a loving heart for others. So if we find ourselves complaining and critical, we need to spend more time with God in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Because if we're right with God, God has us have a right heart with Him, which will help us to have a right heart toward others. And we need to remember that, because God loves all of us. Absolutely. So be careful who you choose to spend time with. If they're not a Christian, or if they're worldly, or if they are complainers, we shouldn't have them as best friends. Right? If someone's lifestyle and character is going to drag you down spiritually in your walk with God, the smart thing is to do what? Walk away. Don't be part of that relationship. And pray for that person. Right? In Numbers 11:5, it says, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Okay? The children of Israel suddenly were only remembering the good things they used to eat in Egypt. When we look back at that, they only remembered what they had in Egypt, but they were complaining about their circumstance now, and yet God had provided manna, which would have been pretty cool to find, I think, and quail for meat at night. He was providing meat and bread, but they were still complaining because they probably didn't have a keg of beer. I don't know. But they were complaining because they didn't have their cucumbers, and they didn't have their garlic, and they didn't have their onions. They didn't have it all spiced up and cooked the way we like it. Get a grip. Be thankful. Right? You follow what I'm saying? So the children of Israel suddenly were remembering the good things they used to have in Egypt. Their complaining was coming out of two things they were forgetting. One, they forgot they were slaves when they were in Egypt. And two, they forgot about God's grace that rescued them and set them free. If we can reflect on the good things and the grace that God has given us in our lives because of His love for us, remember, God loves us more than we love ourselves. And if we can reflect on that, how God has taken care of us in the past, then if we're in a difficult situation now, it hasn't changed that God loves us more than we love ourselves. His love, Scripture says, is immeasurable. There's no height or depth, width or length that can contain God's love. And God's love can't be taken away from us. And God's love is always doing what's right and holy and pure and good in our lives. So if we're going through the desert and we're not eating what we want, don't complain. Praise God that we've got something to eat. Now, can we relate to that in our grocery stores today? Don't go up there when the checkout counter lady says, or guy says, did you find everything okay? I don't know if they're asking that anymore.
Yes, they are.
They are. You could say, well, no, not really. And it's getting really frustrating about this COVID stuff and all this gas and all the stupid politics that's interfering with what I want to eat. No, but God's good. I got what I needed. A shift of focus. Because we can allow the circumstances that we're in today to drive us nuts. I know you're thinking nuttier, but nuts. Right? And we can deal with it in a way that's showing contention and complaining. But as Christians, we should be thanking and praising God like the Israelites should have been doing in the wilderness. Because when we're doing that, then the world is seeing us having faith in God who provides and loves us. That's the mark, that's part of the identity that God wants us to carry in the world we live in. But if we yield to non-believers that are in the world, and sadly even some believers that are complaining about all this stuff, then we need to remind them and remind ourselves, we need to be thankful for what we have. Because God has given us so much, so much. They forgot the miracles of God's grace that allowed them to be free and that he was now feeding them. Sure, it wasn't surf and turf. You know, it wasn't what they were used to. But God loved them and provided for them even when they were complaining. And he does that for us too. Maybe we complain because we have to clean the house. But maybe we need to thank God we have a house. How many homeless people on the streets are there? Be thankful we have a house. When we moved out of that trailer, we went into a parsonage. What happened after that? When we came here, I got them out of order. I remember moving out of that trailer and moving into the house and saying, thank you, Lord. It's a house. It's the same size as the one I'm in now, that we're in now. But it wasn't a 22-foot trailer. Praise God for that. When we came here, the first parsonage that was at the church after we lived in the trailer, we walked in, they're showing us the house, and the fluorescent lights were hanging from the kitchen ceiling. The mold, when they opened up, the dishwasher was all over the dishwasher. The mice drippings were all through the cabinets. The house was filthy. But they were showing us what they were giving us. I said, as long as you guys fix it and clean it up, we'll be glad. Because I'm not bringing my family in this. And they took care of it. When we moved here, it was all spruced up. And we were like, look at this. Looks great. Balloons in the bathtub. Dolores had to vent. Okay, just pranks. You open the shower curtain. Oh, surprise! Good memories. God's grace. God's provision. Praise God for that. But you know what? We're forgetting that some people don't have a store nearby to get groceries. We're forgetting that there may be people that don't have gas money to get somewhere or vehicle, right? There are those that are in other countries that don't have the selections and stores that we have, really. We were watching a program, I think it was on the Huckabee Show, I'm not sure, but a man whose family worked with a very impoverished group of people in South Africa. And they showed a video of them, and they were just skin and bone, starving to death. It was an arid country, and it was very dry, rocky dirt. And they were digging in the dirt, and one lady filled her shirt and curved it up and had a pile of dirt in her shirt. And then as the wind was blowing, she lowered her shirt, and it blew whatever it blew away, kind of like winnowing in the Bible, separating the chaff from the wheat. And then it dropped down to the ground, and then they dug in, and they went through it very meticulously. And one of the men dug through, and the reporter said, what does the gold look like that you're looking for? And so he pulls up, and it was literally the size of a pinhead piece of gold. They would dig for something like that for 5 days or a week to get 1 day's worth of food. So they're digging, and they're starving, and they're looking for gold flakes to sustain them and their families. There's always a comparison, right? There's always I tell my wife, not that she's complaining, she's not, but I'm just saying, I tell her when we're facing trials, it always can be worse. It's always someone that has it worse, and we shouldn't be complaining. So that's a very sad state. So when we're getting frustrated about what our conveniences are being interrupted with, we need to thank God for what God has given us. Amen? We need to stop and think before we complain, right? We need to think about who we might be influencing the wrong way by our complaints. Are we reflecting the light and the love of Jesus Christ? Are we the salt of the earth that preserves truth? That God is holy, God is love, God is gracious, God provides? Are we bearing witness in a positive way about who God is? Are we content with our lives and where we're at and what God has provided us with? Because we should be. We should be thanking God for what he's done. I can guarantee you that even those that are homeless, I say guarantee you, I would assume that those that are homeless are thankful for what they get, at least some of them, right? Maybe some are feeling entitled, because entitlement's a big deal nowadays. But as you've heard before, when I was a bachelor, a can of green beans my mouth was salivating over as I rode my bicycle home to eat. And so be thankful for what God has given us and influence people in a positive way by giving praise to God and thanking God for what he has. I want to close with this verse, with these two verses. It's in Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Wow, that's humbling. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Look at that. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How we respond to difficult circumstances is imperative to how we affect the lives of one another and those that are watching us as Christians. Can either be positive or it can be negative. And we need to be decisive in our actions. So we need to stop and remember God's grace and not complain so we can be light in this world. And let's give thanks for God's grace in our lives each day. This Thanksgiving, you know, it's almost standardized, you know. But really, think about all the news you hear about people that are just struggling to get food on the table. You're able to have food, and you're able to have family, and you're able to be together. What a blessing. Look at the blessings you've had in the past. Look at the blessings God has given now, and trust him with the future as well, with thanksgiving and with praise. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each person here today. I ask, Father, please, that you will bless them. And as I prayed in the beginning, I pray that you, dear Holy Spirit, have carried to their hearts exactly what you want them to receive by your word through this message. And I pray, Father, that you will be glorified, that our hearts walk away humbly thanking you and praising you for the many blessings that you've given us in our life at times past and today as well. You love us more than we love ourselves. And we praise you for that. Your love for us never fails. We'll never be separated by your love. Nothing can separate us from your love. And your love is eternal. Thank you for your marvelous grace, because we don't deserve your love. And yet you poured out your love on us. And you provide it for us out of love through your Son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, who's our Savior, who's our Redeemer, who is the one that we call upon and rely on as our Savior. And so, Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Father, for not only your Son, but for you and for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, that all three of you as one, a triune God, that we have the privilege, Father, of knowing you completely in each of those ways in which you present yourself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each one of you in our lives, working in our lives for your glory and your praise. And I thank you and praise you for that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.